As I was preparing my thoughts, I wanted to share. I was reflecting on what often goes ahead when I take the elements. The night before Jesus was crucified, he established this Lord's Supper feast that we take today. He used elements of a different feast. He took the bread and he told his disciples, "This is my body." And he took the fruit of the vine and he told them that this is his blood, which poured out for them in the new covenant. Those are the same two elements that we take today. We reflect on the body and the blood of the covenant with Christ. And often when I take the bread, I think about Christ's physical body. I think about the fact that he was a man that felt the same things that I feel. He had a physical body that walked this earth and lived a life. I also think about the events that took place after he established the Lord's Supper. I think about how that body was humiliated, how it was bruised, beaten, how it was tortured on our behalf. And when I take the cup, I often think of the blood that resulted from that torture. I think about the blood coming from his back where he was scourged. I wonder if his feet may have been wounded from walking the road to Golgotha. I think about the blood that would have come from the thorns on his head. I think about the blood from the nail wounds that bound him to the cross. When I take the elements, I often think about how Christ was the propitiation for our sins. For some reason, I love that word. It's not a word that we really use in common speech, and so whenever I hear it, the consonants really grab me, and I think it just, the word itself paints a helpful picture for what Christ's sacrifice was. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He bore our sins in his body on the cross." I think about the crucifixion and how it represents the punishment that should have been ours. I think that the elements draw to mind specifics of that day. We think about the humanity of Christ. We think about the awful death that he went through. And I think it's helpful for us to realize that Christ went through that so that we don't have to experience that. The physical death and destruction that Christ bore is what our spirits would have or still have the potential of bearing without the gift of Christ. And while those things are certainly, I think, what we should be reflecting on when we take this Lord's Supper, I was realizing that probably 90% of the time that I take the Lord's Supper, that's kind of where my thoughts end. My reflections often stop short as I consider the death of Christ. In my mind, you know, we do this weekly, which I think is a great design of God for us to have a weekly reminder to reflect on the sacrifice of Christ. But sometimes you can get into a routine, and often after I've taken the elements and my head is down, the final image I have in my mind is of Christ hanging on the cross. And while that scene is of immense importance, While the death of Christ is what covered the earth in darkness, it literally shook the earth. It was at that moment that we have the image of the curtain in the temple being rent in two. While that image of Christ dying for us and suffering for us is of great importance, and we should certainly reflect on that, I was reminded that that's not the end of the story. And I realized that I often don't think about what came after those events. We know that after Christ's body was taken off the cross, he was laid in a tomb, and we know on the third day he was risen again. Today I want to try and remind myself of what the significance of the resurrection is, and think about that in terms of the Lord's Supper. I'd like to go ahead and read the account in Matthew, part of the account of the resurrection. Matthew chapter 27, starting in verse 57. It says, "When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him, and Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which had been hewn out of rock. And he rolled a large stone against the entrance of the tomb and went away. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the grave. Now the next day, the day after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate and said, 'Sir, we remember that when he was still alive, that deceiver said, "After 3 days, I am going to rise again." Therefore, give orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal him away and say to the people, "He has risen from the dead, and the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said, "You have a guard. Go, make it as secure as you know how." And they went and made the grave secure. And along with the guard, they set a seal on the stone. Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. The guards shook for fear because of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know what you are looking for. Jesus, who has been crucified, he is not here, for he has risen. Just as he said, come see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." I'd like to turn over to Romans. Chapters 5 and 6, Paul discusses the impact of Christ's death, and also, I believe, explains some of the significance of the resurrection. Starting in chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. It says, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. More than, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him." That kind of speaks to the scenes that I say I often think of. We know that Christ died for us, and through his blood, he satisfied the wrath of God as long as we are in the blood of Christ. But that doesn't quite explain the significance of the resurrection quite yet. So going on to verse 10, it says, For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life? Looking over to 1 Corinthians now, chapter 15, and verse 12. In this passage, Paul is kind of working through a hypothetical argument to explain the importance of Christ's resurrection and also the importance of the resurrection for us. It says, now if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith is also in vain. Moreover, we have found to be false witnesses of God, because we testify against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. I don't know about you, sometimes when I read Paul's arguments, I can get lost in his turns of phrase and the way he references back to certain ideas, but I want to focus on verse 14. And if Christ is not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith also is in vain. I think that verse really sums up some of the importance of what the resurrection was. The importance that the scene does not end with Christ hanging on the cross. Going back to Romans chapter 6 now, reading verses 1 through 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who died is now free from sin. Now if we've died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him, knowing that Christ has been raised from the dead, is never to die again, and death is no longer master over him. So as we take the elements and we reflect on the sacrifice of Christ, we reflect on his blood placating the wrath of God in our stead. I think, too, it's important to remember that through the power of that moment, there is a great moment to follow a few days after. And as we have hope of being made right in God's eyes through the death of Christ, we also have the hope of a resurrection, and that is made possible by Christ's resurrection. I hope these thoughts are helpful, and I hope that we will remember these things throughout the week after we've taken the Lord's Supper.